All right, we'll call this meeting to order and got the flag up. So let's start out with our Pledge of Allegiance. After me, ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Let's do a board member roll call.
Gloria Alvarado. Trung Lee. John Luker.
Here.
Doug Mangione. I thought I said Doug here. Doug, you're muted. Thank you.
He's here.
Carlos Aragon.
I got vehicles and everything. So
present.
Kathy Boyd.
Here, present.
Shantina Sorrells.
I'm present.
And Gregory Scott. And we do have quorum, Chair.
Great. Do we have any public comment at this time?
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance. If there are members of the public who would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press star 9 and I will unmute you. Seeing no hands, Chair.
All right, we'll get into the meat of the agenda then. We've got a couple of action items here. So we have the OCWDB work experience policy. Who's going to be taking the lead on that?
Good morning, John. Jackie from our team will kind of review what's being updated on that policy.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Jackie.
So I will be going over the WEX policy changes.
Okay.
Desiree, can you pull up the agenda? Is it up? Okay. So can you go to page 4, please? So we're going over the biggest change that we're doing in the WEX policy is the change in responsibilities, the separation of duties between business solutions and the service provider. Can you scroll down, please? Can you actually scroll down to page 23, which is the revised one with red line? So what we just saw is the final version, and what we're requesting for approval is the separation of duties. If you could please scroll down. There it is. So if you look through the entire WEX policy, we'll see that the Orange County Workforce Development Board's Business Solutions team will actually be the one taking responsibility of talking with employers. If you can please scroll down. So here we see the changes. Please scroll down. And then the other biggest change is that we are actually requesting to change the minimum wage for youth participants who are in the program from $15 an hour to $17 an hour for the maximum allotment of $6,200. You can please scroll down. And here we see the change of $17 an hour. And then we also changed the template so it could show the changes of the responsibilities. Okay, you can scroll down. Here's also the change from payroll provider to employer record, so we can just keep the same language. And then the responsibility of the program service provider will be going to Business Solutions of working with employers. Since it's going to be in-house, you can please scroll down. So for the most part, we see that the service provider changes are being changed to Business Solutions, the Orange County Workforce Development Business Solutions. Okay, if you can please scroll down. Okay, and that is it. Does anybody have any questions?
So what is driving this change to change it for, to the Business Solutions from the service providers?
I can take that, John. So we kind of want a separation of duties, right? So we want the service provider, the youth service provider, to be providing participants for the work experience, and then the Business Solution teams be identifying like the work sites. So Business Solutions is working with the businesses because that's under their scope, right? They take care of business services. And this way the youth program service providers, they focus on providing the participants for the program. And so we kind of have that separation of duties. I think it makes a lot more sense for business service teams to be working with the businesses rather than like a youth program service provider working with businesses. It's kind of really out of their scope. So we really want to kind of line things up so the proper teams are doing the jobs they're supposed to be doing.
Okay. Does anyone on the committee have any questions regarding that change? Okay, this is an action item. Can I get a motion to approve those changes?
Kathy
Carlos,
Boyd.
Sorry.
No, Carlos can be the motion to approve and Kathy Boyd can be the second.
Great.
Thank you.
A roll call.
Gloria Alvarado. Trung Lee. John Luker.
Approved.
Doug Mangione.
Approved.
Carlos Aragon.
Approved.
Kathy Boyd.
Approved.
And that is majority chair.
Great. All right. Moving on to the OCWDB support services policy. Are you going to take this one as well, Jackie? That's going to be you, Frank. Okay. Yeah. Great.
So can we go to page 51, please? We'll show the red line copy. A couple small tweaks. We're requesting your approval to report this on for approval of the full board. Couple items to be changed. We needed to update the information notices. There's also a CFR number that needed to be added to it. And if you can scroll down a couple pages. And then right here, we added some language to make sure that the WIOA Title I funds are not being spent on employment generating activities, investment in revolving loans, capitalization of businesses, investment in contract, bidding resource centers, economic development activities, or similar activities, unless they are directly related to the training of eligible program participants. So this is some language that was missing that we needed to add back in to make sure we're compliant with WIOA. And we'll scroll down a little bit. And the biggest change is, keep going down a couple pages, please. Right here. So we have increased the amount to $6,000 over a participant's lifetime. We did want to add language, though, that in justified circumstances, we can exceed that $6,000 threshold. So if there's some situation where a program participant's going to need more than $6,000 in supportive services, we have the ability to offer that. We will be requiring a waiver form, which will require approval of the director or myself to approve it. And you can kind of see right there, we struck some of the language that kind of puts any limitations on income thresholds or anything like that. So we didn't want that language in there. So we just wanted the ability to, in a unique circumstances where a client may need additional supportive services and 6,000, we have the ability to offer it. Obviously, Orange County is a high cost of living area and would like to, with support services, have the ability to be able to provide 3 months of rental support. And in some cases, $6,000 is not going to be able to meet that. That's basically it for the changes.
Can you scroll back up just a little bit? I'm a little confused. So 22 says you may not exceed 6,000, and yet the next one then goes on to say in certain circumstances that 6,000 can be exceeded. Is that correct?
Yes, with a waiver. So if this was like,
you know, so should 22 say may not exceed 6,000 in a participant's lifetime unless an exception is granted?
We could throw a, like, add a semicolon and unless.
Seems like 22 needs to be clarified, because you can't say it cannot exceed and then the next paragraph say these are the circumstances that you can exceed.
Well, is John, is there something in language between may not and shall not exceed? I mean, is one more definitive than the other? If they say shall not exceed, you know, I'm just curious.
May not sounds to me as if it...
As if it's more definitive than shall not. I know we run into that a lot, where if it says in DIR stuff, if it says shall not, it's like etched in stone. You know, Francis, maybe you guys that deal with these things more could clarify, because it does seem like, to John's point, that it's kind of contradicting itself.
Yeah, I can see how that can be kind of a little bit misleading. So if we, I mean, I think the easiest way is if we added the word unless at the end of that sentence.
Yeah.
And then throw a semicolon on there to lead into 23.
True, that would make sense.
Okay, we can make that change before forwarding it.
Yes.
All right, with that change, is there any further discussion on this? Does anyone have any input or questions? Okay, can I get a motion to approve with that one change?
I'll move. They're benchmarking.
Kathy Boyd will second.
Great, can we do roll call?
Gloria Alvarado.
Present.
We're doing a roll call vote for the policy.
Yes.
Thank you. Trung Lee, John Luker.
Approved.
Doug Mangione.
Approved.
Carlos Aragon.
Approved.
Kathy Boyd.
Approved.
That is majority chair.
Great, thank you. All right, next item, the youth program special initiative.
Can we please go to page 59? Okay, so this is a follow-up on last meeting's procurement topic as far as cost reimbursement versus paper performance versus performance contracts. And so what we're asking for here is your approval to move forward with exploring options to develop special programs to serve youth with disabilities in Orange County with prior approval from the DOL in the state, and then to approve exploring the possibility of a pilot program and cost reimbursement plus performance-based contract for special populations. So if we have your approval here, we'll go to the full board to get their approval. Once we have those approvals in place, we will need to go to EDU to get their approval. And then if we have their approval, we can then go out for procurement to identify a vendor to develop this procurement for us. So procurement for a procurement, basically.
Okay. I think we've talked about this quite a bit. So this is just basically recognition and approval, and then we'll move forward.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Any questions from the committee? All right. Can I get a motion to approve?
Motion to approve, Kathy Boyd.
And Doug Mangione second.
All right. Let's do the roll call.
Gloria Alvarado.
Yes.
Trung Lee. John Luker.
Approved.
Doug Mangione.
Approved.
Carlos Aragon.
Approved.
And Kathy Boyd.
Approved.
That is majority chair.
All right. Thanks everyone for those action items. We'll move into the next section of the agenda, the information items, and do our program performance reports.
I'll turn this back over to Jackie. So she supports our youth program. So she'll kind of go through the performance with you guys.
So this is a performance report for the youth program, the in-school youth. They have a contract obligation of $545,000 with $229. And the contract period is from July 2022 to June 30th, 2023. So the total amount for costs that they were billed for the second quarter was $90,050.95 for direct program cost. Billed us for $63,215.41, which put them at an 18%. Administrative cost was $8,186.45, which put them at 17%. Supportive services was $213.17, which put them at 1%. Work experience was $18,435.92, which put them at 14%. For performance.
Have we still not received the first quarter or?
So we have received the first quarter, but because there was a delay of receiving them, many of them in the same time, there was a small delay with accounting. So right now we are working on them. This amount is up through September.
So this isn't Q2, this is July to September, or is this October to December?
So this is how much we paid during that quarter. So although it's October to December, the months that we paid, the actual paid or billed was this amount.
So this was paid, but not necessarily the invoices. So this is only representing 3 months, not 6 months, right? In terms of the year to date?
Correct. And we're still working on the others. Right now we have actually gotten paid through October, but because it wasn't directly paid during that period, it can't be counted. So this is just what was actually paid during quarter two.
Okay.
So for performance, new enrollment, there was actually 10 out of the contracted 150, which put them at 21%. For carry-ins, there was zero, which put them at 100% since we did count them last quarter. For medium earnings, there was 7,800 out of the 4,100, which put them at 393%. So it was really good. For youth education, military apprenticeship, or trade placements, we actually had 5 out of the 41 contracted, which put them at a 20%. Attainment of degree or certificate, we had 0, which puts them at a 2%. Literacy, numeracy gain, and program skills gain. There was 1 out of the 78 contracted goal, which puts them at a 1%. Retention with the same employer, there was 2 out of the 42, which puts them at a 29%. And then for program exits, there was 14 out of 54, which puts them at a 30%. And then out of the 10 new enrollment for participants, there was 10 that received services within the first week of program enrollment. Do you guys have any questions?
Well, are there any of the areas that you guys are focusing on with them or discussing with them?
Francis, do you want to take over?
I mean, I think the biggest part is we just want to get more enrollments. That's probably the one metric that we're a little behind where we want to be at this point in time. We are doing some other things within, like internally, where hopefully we're going to be able to kind of be doing, utilizing some of our staff to do outreach for all our programs to try and bring in more participants to the programs. But new enrollments would be the biggest area of opportunity.
Yeah, I have a question. Maybe you can explain. Retention with the same employer, was that 42 were brought in? Where does that number come from? I'm looking at like 10 people in the second quarter, year to date, 31. Where does the 42 come from? And then am I confused?
So that's the contracted goal for quarter two.
Okay, but they only had 2. So I mean, if they retention with the same employer, the 2 and 3, is that number out of the 10 or 31 year to date? Where do those numbers, it's 2 people out of what?
So it's the year to date. So quarter 2, which is 2, and then plus quarter 1, which was 1. And then it's by the contracted goal. So that's how they got the
7%. So the percentages are just based on contracted goals, which were not met. I was just trying to figure out where, like, two out of how many. But I I get it. It's early.
It's okay. It's almost Friday. Do you guys have any other questions? Okay, so we can go ahead and move to out-of-school youth. So for the contracted obligation for out-of-school youth, it is $1,635,686. And the contract period is also July 1st, 2022 to June 30th, 2023. The total cost was $158,927.87. For direct program cost, it was $121,564.78, putting them at 14%. Administration cost, it was $14,447.99, putting them at 10%. There was no billed for supportive services for ITAs or OJTs since they are out of school. And then for work experience, it was $22,915.10. And that puts them at a 5%. For performance, the performance category, there was actually 35 new enrolled out of the 450 goal, which puts them at 26%. Carry-ins, there was zero. The contracted goal was 89, which we counted last quarter, which puts them at 100%. For medium earnings, it was 6,825 out of the 4,100 goal, which puts them at 143%. For youth education, military apprenticeship, or trade placements, there were 7 out of the 122 goal, which puts them at 9%. Attainment of degree or certificate, there was 15 out of 122 goal, which puts them at 12%. Literacy numeracy gain was 57 out of 234, which puts them at 24%. Retention with the same employer or education, there was 3 out of 126, which puts them at 6%. Work experience, there was 20 out of 135, which puts them at 24%. And program exits, there was 46 out of 162 goal, which puts them at 36%. Out of the 35 new enrollments, there was 35 that received services within the first week. So they all received services right away. And then for ITAs, there was actually 7. So the year to date is 25, and there was no OJTs. Any questions for out-of-school youth?
Well, we've got money in the budget for the supportive services, ITAs, on-the-job training. So what is the, looks like none of that is being used. What's the plan for that at this point?
Francis, can you answer that?
I mean, I'd hate to speak for Ready, Set, OC. Maybe there's a representative from Ready, Set, OC who could talk on how they plan to use them. I think the biggest goal, John, is just to get more program enrollments, right? If we have more people enrolling in the program, there's going to be more people who potentially can get ITAs or supportive services. Not all clients are going to need supportive services, but if there's more clients and potentially more people.
Well, again, I guess it's just the first 3 months too. We don't have the second quarter actual billing, so that's not in here either. So maybe there's some money in there. Or,
I'm trying to think. Since they are sending over to billing periods, I'm sorry, to invoices for each month, perhaps this is only counting the directive program administration, since it's only going to September. There is a possibility that the months next after did bill us for those. But third quarter will probably reflect a better amount. Okay. Can we move on? If you guys have any, do you guys have any other questions?
Not right now, no.
Okay. We can move on to the steps. It's, can you go up a bit? I believe it's in page 62. It was the very next one. Yes, that one. Thank you. So for steps, the contract obligation was $62,900, and the contract period is also July 1st, 2022 to June 30th, 2023. For direct costs, which only reflect salaries, is $12,199.28, which puts them at 36%. For new enrollments, there was 12 new enrollments during the second quarter. Contracted goal is 50, so that put them in a 40%. Carry-ins, there was zero, which were counted last quarter, which puts them at 100%. Workplace readiness trainees, there was 12 out of 50, which puts them at a 44%. Work experience, there was two, which out of the 50 contracted goal, which puts them at a 14%. Referrals to Ready Set OC were 4 out of 25 goal, which puts them at 16%. There was no placements for employment or post-secondary education, and there was one exit. And then out of the 12 new enrollments, one of them received services within the first week, 10 of them received services within week 2 or 4, and then one of them had not been engaged, but since this ends in December, most likely they receive services the next month. Is there any questions?
None for me. Anyone else?
No questions.
Okay.
All right.
So we can move on for the youth program updates. For youth with impact, the updates I have with you is that 5 of them have completed. For 211 OC, there was actually no participants enrolled during this quarter. For financial literacy, there was actually 27 participants who received services. And for justice-involved youth, during the second quarter, we were able to conduct monthly virtual orientations, which were conducted with Juvenile Hall and the Youth Leadership Academy. And for next quarter, we are actually looking into expanding with the Youth Leadership Services at the Youth Guidance Center. Do we have any questions? Okay, Francis, you can go ahead and take over.
Thanks for the updates, Jackie.
Thank you. Have a good Thursday.
All right, location updates.
So it's not too much with the location updates. As far as Orangewood and the Manchester office building, we are providing services in person and also virtually. The Darling Grove One Stop, our lease here ends end of June. We're going to be transitioning this main comprehensive service to Brea. Hopefully, we're going to be in Brea in May, maybe June 1st, though. So we will have both centers open for like a transitional month as we kind of move the main center over. We do have a South County location, which we're hoping to have open early in quarter 2 of 2023. So April, kind of what we got circled right now, currently that we have the lease and everything secured. We have the site secured. We have all the service contracts being taken care of by the operator. The one piece what we're kind of missing right now is the furnishings. We're going through a procurement for all the furnishings. Once those are procured and installed, we'll basically be able to open the doors there for the South End location. So hopefully April, maybe May.
Okay. Is there going to be a lot of work to close down the Garden Grove spot or?
Yeah, it'll be a pretty big transition. I mean, it's, you know, it's a good size facility. We've got a lot of programs in there. So we've got 7 co-located partners, which are going to hopefully all move with us. And actually, the new Brea location is going to be, I'd say, probably about 3 times the size. So we're going to have a lot more space to be able to bring all our programs in. We'll have the youth program primarily housed out of that location, too. So we'll have all our services in one location. A lot of room for partners to come in as well and have space. So it should be it's going to be a good move. It's definitely going to be a very involved move. There's a lot of logistics involved, but probably a very stressful month for us. But I think once those doors are open and we're doing that services, it's going to be a great thing.
Yeah. All right. We're moving on to success stories.
Jackie, do you want to introduce the two success stories we have this week?
Yeah, so currently we have two success stories. For STEPS, we have West Butner, and for La Habra, we have Anthony Mendoza. Desiree, can you please promote them?
Yes, I've tried promoting them, but if you can hear me, you need to accept the invitation to promote.
What were their names again, Jackie?
Wes Butner.
Wes?
Hello.
Hey, Wes.
How you doing?
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Do you want to talk
about... Well, go ahead. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about the services you're receiving and how that's been helpful to you?
Oh, yes. The services I'm receiving and the work... the Gradle program has helped me in many ways with new skills and helped me learn many new things. You know, I worked at a grocery outlet, which helped me be more independent at a job. And I learned new skills, and it was very interesting. And it was the Gradle Help program helped me a lot. I think class helped me a lot too. Learning new skills as well, and in certain scenarios as well.
And where are you going to go do your remaining hours?
My remaining hours will be at Frida.
What is that?
Frida Movie Theater in St. Anna.
Okay. That's great. How did you hear about the services there at Goodwill?
Well, we're going to, I can't really quite remember where we heard from, but where was it again?
Maybe DR.
Maybe DR, yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, congratulations. And yeah, thanks for joining us and sharing a little bit about the services you're receiving.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Love to.
Yes, thank you. Good luck.
So next up, we have Anthony Mendoza with La Habra. Can you please promote? Anthony Mendoza, Desiree?
I don't see an Anthony Mendoza in the attendee room. Is he under Ready, Set, OC maybe, or a different name?
I'm not quite sure. Maybe you can promote them so they can answer. Sometimes they're with them.
Yeah, I've tried promoting them, but they're not accepting the invitation either. Angelique, maybe I have a hand raised, so maybe Angelique Jimenez is Anthony Mendoza. Let me try.
Yes.
Anthony.
Yes, this is Angelique. Anthony's with me because he is at, I just grabbed him from school right next door.
Perfect, thank you.
Well, welcome, Anthony. Yeah, if you can just tell us a little bit about how you found out about these services and what services you're receiving. And our committee kind of works with the providers to try and get to the best possible services you can get. So yeah, just let us know a little bit about your experience so far.
For sure. I want to start off by saying hi. Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be speaking to all of you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Awesome.
I want to say, first of all, my name is Anthony Mendoza, if you guys didn't know already. I'm a returning student back at OC Youth Center, back over here at John Muir. I really love the program here. It's really, like, giving me the opportunity. Like I said, I'm a returning student, so the first year, like, you know, had some bumps, but John Muir has always did their best to always, like, reach out and always, like, you know, taken, like, you know, accepted me and, you know, like... They just, they always do their best here. That's what I like. Like, you know, they never turn away a student. They're always like, you know, come on. Like, you know, they're always like about like, you know, continuing and stuff like that. The program has helped me, you know, build job skills. I've had multiple jobs thanks to John Muir. Like the people here, they've like helped me build my resume. And I know multiple jobs sounds bad, but you know, I gotta get my foot in the water, you know, find out what's for me, what's not. What they have taught me, like, you know, they help me get my work, like they work with my schedule, which I really appreciate because, you know, in this era, in this time, you know, like everybody just wants something that works with their schedule. So right now they're currently helping me, you know, get my diploma so I can go to college. You know, I'm gonna be the first in my family to, you know, graduate from college. I'm really proud about that. So I'm just like, you know, blessed to get everything, like, you know, for them to help me get everything on like my track, you know, stuff like that. I'm sorry, I'm a little flabbergasted, but it's early.
No, well, you're doing a great job. So what specific services are you receiving there?
One of the specific services that they're helping me out with is transportation. They help me out with bus passes, and I really, really appreciate them for that. That's one of like a really big help. And the resume, like I said, the resume, I don't know if that you consider that a service, but that helps a lot of students here because you don't understand, like, and like, you know, previous high school, like, you know, like where I came from, they have no resume help at all. So over here, like, that's like really essential. So I love how they teach that here because, you know, got to get that job. Come on now. Nothing's free here in this economy. Like, you know.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being willing to step up and do this. I know it's hard on Zoom. You can't see people's faces really well.
But yes, I know. I couldn't find my face right here. I was looking. I was like, oh, here I am. So, you caught me over here.
You look good. You look good. You're well spoken. Good job.
A little dead this morning. I'm sure we all are. Need my coffee still. Woody on my DoorDash, my Starbucks.
Well, good luck to you, and good luck on your next steps, too, with college and everything else.
Thank you guys so much.
Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. It's always good to see some faces of the youth that we actually get to work with. So, all right. Francis, what are you going to do? Move on to the next item, the regional initiatives.
So we have Annette Kelly-Whittle. She's our regional coordinator. You can have her promoted, please. She'll kind of give you an update on what's been going on in the region.
I think you're on mute, Annette. Is that?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. There you go.
Now it's better, right? Okay, so we have a lot going on in our region, and so I will start with our Regional 4.0 grant. That grant just closed December the 31st. I shouldn't say just. It's already February, I guess. So,
for anyone that's new in that, can you kind of describe what our region is? Just
yes, I can do that. So I'll start by, so I'm Annette Kelly-Whittle. I'm the regional organizer for the, what is now called the Orange Workforce Alliance, right? Through the state of California, we have 15 regions and there are 45 workforce development boards that are broken up into these 15 regions. And the designated name by the state of California is the Orange Regional Planning Unit. So here in Orange County, we have three workforce development boards. That's Santa Ana, Anaheim, and Orange County Workforce Development Board. So I serve as the regional organizer. Each one of these 15 regional planning units has a regional organizer that serves as a liaison between the California Workforce Development Board and the local Workforce Development Board. And we're here to kind of advance the regional goals and work in partnership with our other two workforce development boards here in Orange County, as well as our community college partners and all of our educational partners and community-based organizations. So that's regional organizing in a nutshell. It's the regional, the RPI 4.0 is Regional Planning Implementation Grant, is the grant that just ended. This is the grant that does fund the regional organizer positions for each of the 15 regional planning units. So this grant ended at 12/31. We do think we've expended all money. We're just waiting on one invoice from Santa Ana and we should have that 100% expended. And we have RPI 5.0 that also came out, which it's about $133,000. And that particular grant, we have not signed the contract for that yet. So they're a little bit behind. It was supposed to start on January 1. So there's a little bit of a gap in service between the 4.0 and 5.0. it is less money than it normally is because we did get funding under the Regional Equity and Recovery Program. So that is a new regional grant that the state funded this year. It was supposed to start December 1st. We are currently in the process of it's going before the Board of Supervisors for them to accept that particular grant. And so we're in that contracting period. So as soon as that's executed, that we'll be ready to rock and roll on that one. That grant is a partnership grant with our community colleges. This is the first one that the state has done in this manner where the state is funding through workforce development for dollars, some of the program cost, and then the chancellor's office is funding some of the program costs. So the chancellor put in $10 million across the state of California. And in our area, we have four college partners. So that's Coastline College, North Orange County Continuing Education, Santa Ana College, and Saddleback College. So they all received $140,000, and it's a lot less than we asked for. So I think collectively with the four colleges, the ask was like in the $5 million, but the whole pot of money was $10 million. So we knew that we were not going to get that amount, but hey, they all aimed high and this is where we landed. So they are currently making adjustments to their scope of work and try to, you know, fit what is it they're going to do within that scaled down amount. And so with this grant, we basically, the workforce development or the region put in the grant. We had to kind of just collaborate on what we were going to do collectively, but we submitted it as one application, including the four colleges. They will get their allocation directly from the chancellor's office, and we will receive our allocation as usual from EDD. The amount that the boards will receive is $1.3 million. So some of that is for direct services. So unlike RPI 4.0 and 5.0, there are no direct services required as a part of those grants. But since we are partnering with our community college, there will be direct services. So that's why the increased amount of funding for this particular grant, we usually get around $300,000 for our regional grant. So this one's a $1.3 million, so we will be expected to provide some services under this grant. We will be leveraging Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act dollars also as a part of this grant. And the target is to serve first-generation students, English language learners, immigrants, and veterans. So that's the target population of part of this grant. The Prison to Employment grant was awarded to the region, which Santa Ana is the lead Workforce Development Board on that particular grant. We received $927,000, and that one, they are going to put out an RFP to the community and call on CBOs to provide some of those services as a part of that grant. So we should see that coming out through Santa Ana. We'll send that out through our OC region email address once they release that. And then we have the Orange Workforce Alliance. So that is our new name. As I was saying earlier, we have been called the Orange Regional Planning Unit, which is the designated state name. We have rebranded. Some of you may have been involved in that process, but we've rebranded Orange Workforce Alliance. Our website is orangeworkforcealliance.com, so you can take a look at that website. We do have some new branding materials, and I can later send out to the board that information in a PowerPoint to where you can click on the links and everything and kind of take a look at those things. Definitely open to feedback. It's still, you know, the website is still a work in progress. We have more that we want to do with it. As soon as we kind of have our other funding in place, we'll continue to expand on it and make it better, but definitely looking for some feedback on it. And then we have the Community Economics Resilience Fund. So there is currently a grant that is out. We have Kathy, who's on the line, who they are putting together an application that includes some other CBO organizations and providers throughout the the county. And so I think you may be the only one that is putting that application together. And I believe, Kathy, that's due on the 10th, right? Or 13th. Okay. And so I don't know if you still have room and you still have a call out for more, or you guys are pretty much wrapping it up here and going to get it submitted.
Yeah, because I work for a big organization, it's kind of getting the final stages of approval. But for future reference, if we do go after any other funding, we'll make sure to let people know as soon as possible so that we can include them in our application if they're interested. Thank you.
Yeah. So this particular funding, if you guys recall, we went through a process of competing for this SURF funding for the planning grant. This grant was awarded to the Orange County Business Council. So as a part of this planning grant, they will establish tables, and basically these different tables will come together to kind of discuss what projects they want to see within the community. It's all about community-led economic development. So it's bottom-up economic development. We will see more of these funds come down for implementation. However, hopefully the planning has started and there's been more conversation with the community. And from that burst some plans basically that really have some community input in them that will go before what's called the High Roads Training Collaborative, Transition Collaborative, excuse me, to approve these plans, right, that would then be put and go after the implementation funding. So there's some additional funds that will be coming down. They're still working out contracts, from what I understand, with a number of regions. There were 13 regions that were awarded planning grants. And so as they work out those agreements, and we should start seeing those tables come together and some planning around the SURF program, and then additional funding come down the pipe for that one. There's a couple of things that aren't on here that I'm just going to kind of talk about, which are our regional and local plan process. We are currently in that process. We've had some community meetings back in November, and we've had, you know, brought our partners together in September, and then January 25th, we did have the three boards convened. So some of you again may have been a part of that. And David Schinder led those conversations. And in that meeting, we went through our mission, vision, and core goals and core values that, you know, kind of went through a process to try to identify what that's going to look like. So David is going to massage what was given to the input that was given to him and come back with some recommendations on that. And then he did go over the regional plan, got some input on that regional plan. So we're right now in the writing of that and trying to finalize that. And we are hoping to have all of that done by February 11th. It will be open for public comment around that time for 30 days as required by the state. And that will be the time when board members or anyone else can take a look at it, provide us any input that they would like on it. And then we need to have that to the state by March the 31st of this year. It will go before the boards for approval. It will go afterwards. So I'm sure we will ask for the approval without any, you know, major substantive changes, so that we can get that in on time. And it will also have to go before the Board of Supervisors at some point. So we don't have to send it in with signatures. So we have until about the end of June to get signatures and final approvals from the board and the Board of Supervisors. So that will be the process on that. And then we have our Orange County industry sector meetings. I'm having kind of lots of sidebar conversations about our industry sector meetings and how we move forward. I just spoke about it to Kathy even yesterday, just with her team, about how are we going to come together and have strong regional employer convening, so that we do not have multiple convenings happening and exhausting the same employers that are, you know, pooled to come to various meetings for K-12, for our strong workforce, each one of our 9 community colleges, as well as workforce development. So the goal is really to come together as a region, have strong meetings that each one of our education and workforce development providers, we can all glean the same information and then collectively work together to identify how we solve these issues in partnership with businesses. That is the key word, in partnership. We need businesses at the table to solve some of these problems. Some are not easy. You know, some of our healthcare issues as far as training pipeline really require our healthcare, you know, partners to be involved, open up clinical slots. There's all sorts of things that, you know, require their involvement. And we need them to be consistently kind of at the table, having the conversations with us, working that out with us to solve issues, as well as making sure that we're training in the right areas. We're keeping up with the times. Business moves fast these days, education not as fast, right? So we've got to figure out how we keep up with business and making sure that we're training individuals in the right things. And in order to do that, we need those businesses to be at the table telling us, you know, what's happening and forecasting what's happening. So we're kind of, you know, I'm really trying to identify the best way to move forward in ensuring that we have strong convenings. We have had them. I just don't feel like I have enough businesses at the table to make it meaningful, not only for them as well as our region to kind of push initiatives forward. We need more voices. So open for any input, definitely open for help in just, you know, identifying those businesses in whether that's manufacturing, healthcare, hospitality and tourism, or information technology that are willing to be kind of champions and to pull in other businesses into those industry sector conversations. So there will be more to come on that. And then as far as the comprehensive economic development strategy, that the SEDS is going to expire in June 30th of 2023 here. And so the county is doing a procurement, working on a procurement to secure someone to write the SEDS plan. And if you're not familiar with the SEDS plan, it's a document that is required to be able to go after economic development agency funds, which are not only in times of during times of like pandemic, for instance, you have to have a set strategy in place in order to tap into this funding. And sometimes in some only certain areas within Orange County will qualify for funds because it is kind of based on it's more of the underrepresented communities, disinvesting communities, if we want to say it that way. But basically, they look at, you know, poverty levels, they look at unemployment levels. And so in the best of times, we don't necessarily qualify except for certain census tracts, right? But overall, if we don't have like a SEDS in place when we have something like the pandemic hit and they change those requirements, they basically waive those requirements, we would not be able to go after that funding if we don't have a SEDS in place. So the county is working on getting a new one developed, which requires kind of all of the cities to put in projects that they would be interested in funding under economic development agency dollars. And that is all I have. If anybody has any questions?
Any questions for Annette on the regional initiatives?
No questions.
Thank you.
I know, you know, Doug and I have been on this committee. A lot of us have been on this committee for a while. It's just good to see that there is coordination happening between the three workforce boards. It's always kind of been weird that we've all been siloed for so long. So
long time coming, John.
I know.
Yeah. It's good.
So it's good to have you in place, Annette, to help kind of coordinate the efforts.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to the grant matrix. Who's taking the lead on that one?
That one will be me again. All right, perfect. So the grant matrix, this is our current grants, this is currently programs that we have. As Annette said, the 5.0 for the regional implementation, we're just waiting on execution. Basically, the Board of Supervisors to approve receiving funds before we start those funds as well, same with the Regional Equity and Recovery Partnership Plan. Next one is the micro business grant. We have funding still available for about 150 more micro businesses. So we've already awarded about 1,200 businesses and about 150 remain. We have through June 30th to be able to expend those funds. So hopefully we're going to be able to get them all awarded and not have to get any money back to the state. And we'll scroll down just a little bit. Next one is the Careers Grant. It's a National Disability Worker Grant, $3 million grant. Through the MAP program right now, the goal for the program is to have 600 participants enrolled in the program, got a late start. And then the first quarter, they've got about just over 100 individuals enrolled in the program, which is great. We are actually, though, going to be returning those funds, requesting to return those funds to DOL, though, because we had challenges getting staffing for the grant. We had written into it about 10 positions written into the grant, and we were only able to fill two. So they put us in a position where we're not able to properly deliver, and we think it's better to return the funds and to pay up and take the funds. Next one down is the BEAT grants. That's coming to an end here at the end of March. They are well on track to hitting their goal. Will probably be to get the total number of enrolled participants. There's the 4.0 that just ended end of December. There's the STEPS program right below there. That one's currently running, and that's what Jackie gave an update on earlier. And then the last one on the grants matrix, the prison to employment. That's the one that mentioned that Santa Ana is taking the lead on, and they're going to be going doing a request for proposal for service providers to provide those services. Any questions on the current grants?
What are some of the outcomes of that last grant, the prison to employment? What are the goals of that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not a subject matter expert on this one, John. Santa Ana's been the lead on that one, so I wasn't involved at all in the application period. I can, if you'd like, I can follow up this meeting and get you like a summary of what the goals are for the program, how the funds can be used. I'll send you an email a little later to go down with that information.
Sounds good. Anything else on that, Princess? Anything else with the grants, or is that it?
That's it for the current grants. Yeah, we don't have any new applications going out right now, so this is all we want.
Got it. Okay. Anyone have any questions on that, or we're good to move on? All right, hearing none, I guess the next item here is what? Summary of expenditures?
Yeah, so we've got the subgrant agreements, which is basically our formula funds coming in, and then the summary of expenditures. We've got a lot of pages here. I don't know how much detail you'd like to go into, John. I could give a quick high-level summary, or you can go page by page if you like. Please just let me know what you prefer.
So explain to me again what this, I mean, we've just went over our youth contracts up at the top of this. So what exactly are these expenditures for? Are these for WIELA in its entirety?
Yes, so our WIELA programs, right? So our youth program is funded by WIELA formula dollars. So the subgrant agreements, that is our money coming from EDD to us, our allocation of WIELA dollars. And it's kind of broken down by how it can be spent, right? A certain amount is for youth, a certain amount is for adults, a certain amount is for dislocated worker. We also have some allocated for rapid response and WIELA version. So this is basically, we've got couple sets of documents here. One is kind of the subgrant agreements where it's showing the amount of money we're receiving from the state. And then we also have our expenditures broken down by month. So it's October, November, December's expenditures for each of the programs.
All right, if you want to run through that, I mean, I don't think we have to look at every month. I mean, I don't know if December is, if December shows the year to date.
But if we can go down to, I think the important part to cover is probably on page 66. So this is our subgrant agreement. So if you see right here, it's it shows this is the last program year. So it ended in 2021. So if you scroll down just a little bit, so I want to show you the actor to the second page. Yeah, so it ended in, December 2022. So we actually had received a reduction. We basically gave money back. So we gave back about $1 million in dislocated worker funds. And then if you scroll down, I believe it's about 1.5 million in the adult. Can you scroll down just a little bit? Yeah, about $1.5 million in the adult program. So that was basically because we couldn't spend the money. And so we gave it back. So there's definitely some opportunity there for us to provide more services, right? So we gave about $2.5 million back. What we want to be careful of is if we're consistently not expending the funds, then we may get a lower allotment of funding in the future. So it's important for us to identify that we've got opportunity for us to do better. Go down to the next page.
Right. But those programs aren't under the purview of the youth committee, right?
No, not the youth, but they're part of the formula funds, but not part of the youth.
Got it.
You can see the youth.
So is this just more information? This just more informational for us because we can't really.
Exactly. Yeah. You see the youth is actually listed here under the yellow formula. It's you can see it's right below the adult. You can see the allocation of youth formula funds. So we didn't get any back there. So that's great.
Got it.
Scroll down a little bit. So next page. Next page, please. No, sorry, next page. And one more. Oh, yeah. So this is like another one of those slides. If you go to the next page, it'll show it's basically the same thing. Can you go down one more page, please. So this is a reduction in. This is money we gave back. So this is another million we gave back. If you go down to the next page, it'll show where everything went. So you can kind of see it's across the rapid response and layer. Mm-hmm. Primary rapid response, so it's like our business services. That's an opportunity there to expend more funds than we can use.
Is that non-expenditure of those funds? I mean, obviously we've been during that period of time, we were in a low unemployment. People weren't doing a lot of layoffs. And so is that why those funds weren't expended or?
Full transparency, like our business service team has been a little understaffed. And so there's opportunity for us to be bringing in more staff to offer a more robust program. We're kind of operating at our capacity right now, like on staffing levels. So the reason Carmen's not here today is she's actually doing selection interviews for hopefully additional business service staff. So we can hopefully increase those programs and have more delivery of services.
Yeah.
And if you want to go to page 88, please. So this is a list of expenditures. So this one right here is for the rapid response, say 540. And you can see this was 10. So this is October's expenditures. Let me see if I can get this for.
We lose Francis.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
No, sorry. I'm trying to look through to see if it's a good page to go to. It's basically each of the programs broken down 1 month at a time with the expenditures. I'm happy to go through each one if you'd like, or you guys can review. And if you have questions, you can reach out to me on them. It's a lot of pages. It's a lot of reports.
I guess I'll open it up to the committee. Does anybody in the committee want to look through each one of these pages? I mean, for me, it's not really affecting the youth committee. It's affecting some of the other programs that we don't necessarily oversee. We can talk about it at the overall board, but I don't think we need to look through every page.
Yeah, assessment, yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think you've done a good overview of this. I happen to be on another committee, but I feel like I have what I need as a board member.
I agree.
Well, if anyone does have any questions from this, like if you review and you want, you know, questions on any of the line items, please feel free to email me or call me, and I'd be happy to get you a response.
All right, thanks. So is the next item the micro business?
Well, that was also an expenditure report right there. So with the micro business, okay. Basically we've got a funding remaining for about 150. Was probably the important piece of information.
And then how many businesses did you say you've already provided grants to?
About just over 1,200. We have some issue kind of pending. There's some documentation we have to provide, right? So we have about 50 or so, which are kind of pending right now, pending some documentation. We've got about 1,200, a little over 1,200 funded, and we've got about 150 remaining. In total, would be 1,470 microbusinesses that we're able to expect.
That's a pretty significant accomplishment, I would think. I mean, just getting that many grants out to that many people is a lot in and of itself.
Yeah, it's a pretty great program, honestly. It is helping those really small businesses, right? It's really tailored towards like street cart vendors, gig workers, people who are very low income, don't have a lot of capital, and helps them out.
Good. All right, item D there, the career DLW, is that the same thing, or?
That's just an update on the career grant. That's the National Dislocated Worker Grant. That's the one which we're actually looking to fund.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on then to the compliance and audit updates.
That's your last. Okay, so there hasn't been much change here since the last meeting. We do have ongoing EDD audits from quite a while ago. Those are from 2016 through 2018 primarily. We're waiting on EDD to let us know if additional documentation is required at this time. So we provided what's been requested of us, and we are waiting. Basically, the previous program years compliance have all been resolved and concluded. Currently, we have our own internal compliance and monitoring team at the county reviewing last program years. We're actually submitting documentation to them tomorrow for their review. So they're doing an internal audit right now, currently. That's a very high level summary, but that's the status of the compliance and monitoring.
Okay. So nothing's really, I think last time we talked about this, we're just waiting on EDD to get back to us on some of those old ones, and
give them away quite a while, John. So
I think it's more just let them come to you versus you going to them, right? Okay. Any questions from the committee on any of these audits, or all right? Discuss 24-25 procurement.
We'll take that one as well. So we've kind of touched on this with the special initiative for the youth program. So basically what's going to happen from here is if we do receive the full board approval also to proceed, we'll then go to EDD to request their approval to use the funds for a cost reimbursement with a paper performance component. Once we've got that, we'll identify a provider to write up the request for proposal, and then we'll go out there and come up with some good service providers for it. So early stages, we've got to go a couple of approvals, but once those are in place, the next two steps is going to be to identify a provider to write the program for us, and then go out there to identify the service provider to provide that program.
Okay. Well, for anyone new on the committee, or, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit, so this will be essentially a trial run for us in terms of the pay for performance. So I think that when we discussed it, it was some portion of it would be cost reimbursement, and then a portion of it would be pay for performance, or simply, you know, if you maintained your, or you achieved your goals, you would achieve, you know, certain dollar thresholds within that. It's kind of a hybrid type of model.
Exactly.
Got it. All right. think that is it in terms of the agenda items. We have a time for open discussion. I'm a little remiss. Dr. Shantina Sorrell joined us. I think she's new to our committee. I have the pleasure of working with Dr. Shantina at Orangewood. She's our chief program officer at Orangewood and runs all of our youth programs. She works with our WIOA program that we have at Orangewood Foundation quite a bit. So Dr. Shantina, do you want to do a quick hello or intro, or sorry about that?
Sure. No, you did great with my intro, but I'm excited to be here, excited to learn more about what you're doing today. It was very helpful just getting some of the background info, learning some of the ins and outs, and that's my goal, is to be a resource and to be able to bring that youth voice as well as we are working with our youth directly and bring that to you all. But excited to hear it, and was great to hear from the youth today. So I am a doctor of social work. That's what I do. I've been with Orangewood a little bit over 3.5 years almost now. So that's crazy. Pandemic years, you start to go like, was it 30? Was it, I don't know, but 3.5. Prior to that, my career was mostly in child welfare and residential. I spent 15 years with Boys Town, which many people have heard of or know of in the past. I had a little foray into housing and did housing on a national scale and affordability, and now over to Orangewood. So excited to be here with y'all and just learn more and be a support wherever I can be.
Welcome.
And I believe we have another member that's going to be joining us soon. I know Karma has been working at kind of recruiting some more members to our various different committees, and I know that several of those members are in the process of getting approved to the full board, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully that'll happen soon. I know it's been a little longer process than any of us thought it would be to get those board approvals done through the Board of Supervisors, but it'll happen in due time.
With that, John, we actually have an item going to the Board of Supervisors next week. It's the bylaws. That's basically what's kind of been holding everything up. We need to get the bylaws approved by the Board of Supervisors. So that goes next week, and then that gets approved. So we also work on getting new appointments.
Very good. I know that's been a long time coming. All right. Any other items for discussion from the committee or? All right, seeing none, we'll call for an adjournment. Thank you guys for all your time today. We got through it a little quicker than I thought we would, but that was a beefy agenda. So thanks everyone for your participation. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, John.